Let us pray. Gracious God, we live and have our service tonight in the midst of a very busy and bustling city. And it's a warm evening. There are many things to distract us. But we pray that in this evening hour, our hearts and minds would be warmed to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, speak to us from his word. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 53 at verse 10. That first lesson that was read in our hearing. Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Amen. First of all, I would like to say again that we're very grateful for the invite to come and see you and to share fellowship with you. And we had a visit over to my wife's parents this afternoon. And when we came back, there was a lovely plate full of sandwiches. And they were very welcome. And we all need to be encouraged to show love one to another. And I remember when I went to university as an unbeliever, the thing that struck me about the Christians there was that they had a love one for another. You could see it in the way they spoke to one another, the way they listened and had a genuine sort of godly fun as students do. And that is so powerful. And the Lord Jesus said that when you show love one to another, that shows to the world that you are my disciples. And that is a very powerful thing. So may God be thanked for his love in us one to another. First of all, with our text this evening, I wish to look at the second part of this text in verse 10. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. First of all, who is this speaking of? Who? King David had died. Solomon was no more when Isaiah penned these words. Who was the king? Who was the king of Judah? Remember, the 10 tribes had been taken away captive for their apostasy. And so Judah and Benjamin were left. And Hezekiah was the king. But this verse doesn't speak of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a man of God, but he had certain faults, and he had too much awe of the king of Assyria. Again, the great reformer, King Josiah, would not rule for another 50 years. And when he did rule, it was only for about 25 years. Nope. All of these men, all of these kings, they flourished. But they flourished as the spring daffodils. They flourished as the summer flowers. Soon they withered and were no more. But my friends, this verse speaks of a king who shall never die. This verse speaks of a monarch and of a potentate who shall never wither and perish. This verse is speaking of a victorious individual, a victorious individual. And yet, in his victory, and in the midst of his victory, he died. And not only did he die, but he suffered for sin, for the sin of others. He did not suffer for his own sin. His own worst enemies could find no fault in him. He suffered for others, and yet he was a king, the most mighty, the most glorious king this earth has ever seen. The most mighty, the most glorious this universe will ever see. Who is this king? This king is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the subject of these verses in this chapter. In Old Testament prophecy, it is abundantly clear that the Messiah means the King. The King, not Elvis, but the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. This King, who would be a descendant of David. He would be. He was great David's greater son. This is he of whom these verses speak. And I want to notice three things with you this evening. Firstly, he shall see his seed. Secondly, he shall prolong his days. And thirdly, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Firstly then, he shall see his seed. He shall see his seed. The seed is the progeny. The seed is that offspring. Now, the offspring and progeny of this servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, never married and had children, but he has a most glorious multitude of children, spiritual children. But first, this servant had to be bruised, as we read in the first part of verse 10. He had been bruised. He'd been chastised terribly. He had suffered. Why? Why had he undergone these terrible torments so that his heart and mind was cut off from the fellowship and love of his Father? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from the words of my roaring? He suffered to purchase a seed, to purchase this progeny, to purchase this multitude. He hath poured out his soul unto death. That's what we read in verse 12. He hath poured out his soul unto death. This man had died. He poured his soul to such an extent out that he died. His spirit was gone from him. He gave up the ghost. But, my friends, he was raised from the dead. And in our lives we see such evidences of death. And all those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ nailed to a cross saw this man die, and that was no uncommon thing. But there was something very uncommon about this man. He rose from the dead. He became alive again. He defeated the power of death. He defeated the power of the grave. And Peter tells us this in his sermon in Acts and chapter 2 at verse 22. And one can sense the power of the Spirit of God upon this humble fisherman. And that's what he was, a fisherman, but turned into a fisher of men. He says in Acts 2 verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." He had loosed the pains of death. This man was the Prince of Life. This man was the God man. He could not stay in the grave. There was no power of the grave to keep him dead. He became alive. He broke the power of death. It was not possible that he should be holden of it. Why? Because he is the Prince of Life. He is the Prince of Glory. And he rose again to testify to the whole world, to heaven and to earth and to hell, that this is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord our righteousness. And he has purchased a seed, spiritual children. And he, because he has been raised from the dead, and as we have confessed, he sits at the right hand of God and has all power in heaven and earth, because he was raised from the dead and he lives never to die again, he shall see his seed. He sees the millions and millions flocking to himself. He said, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Why? Because of some magic in him. No. But because he is the divine Son of God. Because he sends forth his Spirit. And when his Spirit goes into the world and into the hearts and minds of men, those whom he has called, he brings to himself. This is the work of God. This is the operation of omnipotence. He shall see his seed. He shall see the children of God come to life. And it is a marvelous thing when we have our own children and we see the first one born. When our first one, Tom, came along, it just knocks you for six there, this wonderful creature. And then number two and number three and however many more the Lord may prosper a couple with. But the Lord Jesus Christ sees millions and millions of souls coming to him because of the power of spiritual birth effected by his Spirit. His seed then are Christians. His seed are children of God, believers. He shall see them come to faith. And he is the good shepherd. He not only sees them, but he doesn't have, there's no weakness in him. In the seeing, there is a shepherding. There is a loving, a caring for these sheep. And he raises up men of God to look after his people. And that is what we must do. We must look after the people of God. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake is seeing us. And he's seeing his seed. Oh, how jealous he is for his spiritual children. How strong are the bonds between Christ and his children. How strong they are. And in Ephesians 2, we have the imagery of the head and the body. And Christ says that he is the head of his church, and his church is his body. Now, if you took someone else took your head from your shoulders, you would die. And there is this closeness, there is this interdependence, as it were, between your head and your body. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. How strong are the bonds of spiritual love between the Lord Jesus Christ and his body, which is the church. The church, the household of God. Or he shall see his seed, and his soul shall be satisfied. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. What glorious words those are. What powerful words. Oh, that terrible death which he underwent. He shall be satisfied. He shall see that his suffering was not in vain, because millions upon millions he will call by his Spirit to himself. Oh, one can begin to see the glory of this kingdom, the majesty of this kingdom, the eternal nature of this kingdom, a kingdom that is like a stone which bashes all the other kingdoms and all the other movements of this world to pieces. This is the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall see his seed. And many people are looking for security, are they not? But we will find it in him. I am the good shepherd. Who shall separate them from my love? Who shall pluck them from my Father's hand? Who shall pluck them from my hand? None. None in heaven, none in earth, none in hell shall take them away from me, the Lord Jesus Christ declares. I will see my seed. I will see of the travail of my soul, and I shall be satisfied. And Christ will see this seed come to faith over 1,000 generations. Now, if we know just a little bit of mathematics, we know that 1,000 is 10 times 10 times 10, 10 cubed. Now, 10 in Scripture is the number of perfection. But these 1,000 generations that God will call him to himself, there is then this completeness in the church of God. And Christ shall see the travail of his soul until time is no longer. He shall see his seed until time is no longer, until the very last is brought in to the kingdom of God. And then shall the end come, and the eternal state, the eternal kingdom shall be brought in. We see with the eye of flesh, we see men and women going about their daily lives. We see all sorts of churches and religious groups and philosophies and followings and leaders come up. But behold the invisible church of God. What a king this is. And I would ask you, is this king, this glorious yet humble king, this king who humbled himself and became nothing and was a servant for me? Why was he my servant? Because he took my sin away. He took it away, that my soul would not suffer eternal perdition, and quite justly, at the hand of the Father. What a humble and yet glorious king this is. Is this king yours? Is Jesus, King Jesus, yours? Oh, the folly of being an enemy of his. Why will ye die O Israel. That is what the prophet said. Why will ye die? Why? What reason can you give? Secondly, he shall prolong his days. That means the Father shall prolong the Son's days. Christ's resurrection from the dead, his raising from the dead, would mean he would die no more. And we can see the Hebrew poetry in it. He shall prolong his days. How long shall his days be? The Bible says they shall be forever and ever and ever. We cannot take these things in. But because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Lord from heaven, the Father shall prolong his days. He is the only begotten Son of God. He is eternally generated. He cannot cease to exist. My friend, he will live forever. And if we will love him, we will live forever. The impostor in this world is not God. The impostor in this world is not Scripture and the Holy Spirit. But the great impostor in this world is death. Death. That is the enemy. That is the alien. That is the virus that has come into this universe because Adam and Eve decided they knew best. Sin is an imposter. The wages of sin is death. But God is living. He shall prolong his days. And therefore, God's creation shall not die. He shall remake creation that it shall not die. And you and I have been created with an eternal soul. Oh, think upon that. You're not like the fish and the trees and the elephants and the cats and dogs. You have eternity within your heart. And creation will be remade by him. Revelation at chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. We will live in a new heaven and a new earth. Christ shall destroy death at his return. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Behold the glory of the risen Saviour. And Paul, in the epistle to the Hebrews, writes this at chapter 1, at verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The Father says to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. He shall prolong his days. He shall see his seed. If Christ did not rise from the dead, neither shall you or I rise from our graves. And thirdly, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. The pleasure of the Lord. Into which hand of mortal man can the pleasure of God prosper? Which man is there? Which man was there worthy to open the book? And John cried in Revelation, and he said, there is no man worthy to open the book. And then the angels said, there is one. There is one who hath prevailed, the one coming from Judah, the Lion of Judah. He hath prevailed. And because he hath prevailed, and he alone has prevailed, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ testified, it's there in Old Testament prophecy. He said this, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Mine ears hast thou opened. Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. That's why it shall prosper, because the Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the Father. Christ shall not fail his Father, not a whit. He shall prosper and exactly fulfill his Father's will. And Christ Jesus has all authority, been given it by the Father, has been given all authority over in heaven and earth. He has power over all flesh. And if we're Christians tonight, it is not through the religiosity of our own hearts, no. Jesus said to Peter, when Peter said to him, Thou art the Christ. And Peter said to him, Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Christ has power. He has power over the mighty potentates and present presidents and city councils and the most devilish of tribesmen in the most far-flung places. And he has power over your soul. And yet Jesus says, repent or perish. And this power is in the gospel. And the gospel has been committed to fallen sinners to proclaim. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is the word of reconciliation. And this gospel shall prosper because it is in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this prospering was seen by a very remarkable man. And he said some very marvelous things. His name was Habakkuk. And he said this in his second chapter of his prophecy at verse 14 regarding the prospering of God's work in Christ's hand. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This 10th verse of Isaiah speaks of victory. And I, for one, believe there will be a time when there will be wonderful glory over God's earth, and the vast majority of mankind will be one to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Because of this verse, we are to lift up our heads as we preach. And we are to roll up our sleeves and to go into the highways and byways of the earth. And what did John Wesley say? He said, the whole world is my parish. Why? Because the pleasure of the Lord will not prosper in our hands primarily. Because it will prosper, and it will, shall prosper in his hand. Our nation is not prospering because we do not love this Lord as we did. Sin is a reproach to any people. And righteousness exalteth a nation. God's work then will prosper because it is God's work. Labour on in hope. Work and preach and pray as if everything depended upon you. And then trust, as you know well, that everything depends upon God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. My friends, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen.